Good morning.
Good morning
and welcome to worship. And I'd like to welcome some special guests from Scotland. Okay, they're now, but they're not Scottish, they're not really. They all belong to Harold in some way, and he's very pleased to see them. And I think we're going out for lunch together, so I shall have to use a knife and fork today, I tell you. Well, you're very welcome, and if you're visiting as well, or you're here for the first time, lovely to see you, and I'm sure that you'll get a blessing from what takes place. Just a few announcements to keep you up to date. Following our worship, tea and coffee will be served in the community hall, and then at 12:05, there'll be an open-air witness on the triangle. It's been good to see quite a number of supporters from the core in the last few weeks. That's really good. So that's 12:05, the triangle. Monday sees the Sallywags joining us on Monday morning. Wednesday, Friends Together from 1:30. Thursday, coffee morning between 10 and 12. And the fifth group meet at 10:30. And explorers, the youngsters, meet in the afternoon at 3:30. Now, there's a date for your diary. It's not very far away, so you shouldn't be able to forget it. It's the 29th of October, Sunday morning at 10:30, and we're holding here in this hall the Harvest of the Seas with Andy Malcolm of the Fisherman's Mission. So that's a week on Sunday. That's the Harvest of the Seas. Finally, it was sad to hear that Libby's mum was promoted to glory during the last few days. Please remember the family in your prayers. And now, the poor we have always. Yes, he's got up, so he knows he's captain. Thanks, Captain.
Good morning, everyone. I wasn't quite sure if John had finished or not. But welcome to worship here this morning at the Salvation Army. I was going to say a couple of things before I get started. First is, the open air is working really well at the minute. So what we're going to do is, as we do every week, finish worship about 11:15, 11:45. Quick cup of tea, don't scald yourself, but quick cup of tea. And then by 12:05, as many of us as possible outside on the triangle for the open air. Can you hear me? You can hear me good, because I can't really hear myself, so that's good. It's an extension of our worship together. If you're not able to join us for reasons that I understand, commit those of us who are going out to prayer and pray that people will be responsive to what we are doing. So that was one thing. The second thing is we've got a birthday. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. We're not going to sing, so John, don't worry. You don't need to run a marathon yet. But it's Claire's birthday today, so make sure you wish her a happy birthday. She's just, believe it or not, she's just a tiny little bit younger than me. I've had a hard paper round, and that explains the difference. Today, we approach the fourth and final instalment of our series on giving. So we've had 4 weeks on the topic of giving, and this is the last one, and we can put that topic to one side. But before I kind of talk about where we're going to go, I just want to express a message of thanks. And thanks to those in particular who are responding to my appeals to give more. There's people that have started standing orders. There's people that have upped their standing orders. People are playing their part and are pulling their weight. And you know what? I had some finance reports this week, and it's showing. Your giving is ahead of budget. So thank you very much. Yes, yes, Christine, you're right. So thank you very much. But let's not rest on our laurels. Let's continue. So thank you very much. It's what keeps this arm of God's mission at work. So thank you very much indeed. And today, really, the focus of our worship is quite simple, when it's that we do not give of our money, of our time, of our talents, out of a sense of duty. We don't do it because it's the right thing to do. We do it in thankful response, in grateful response for what God has done for each and every one of us through Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, we start our worship with them singing song number 73 in the songbook, if you're following in it. All hail the power of Jesus' name. And I invite you to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Good. You were starting to worry me and you weren't convincing me. But that a cappella verse changed the mood. And we crown him Lord of all this morning. Please take your seats. And we continue in praise and adoration of Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, the Lord of us, the Lord of me, the Lord of you. And we sing, Jesus, what a beautiful name, Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. This is who he is, the Son of God, the Lamb that was slain. It's him that brings us joy and peace. He gives us strength and hope. And it's him that we worship this morning. Let us join together in singing.
Jesus, what a...
Heavenly Father, we worship you and we adore you this morning. You are a great God. You are the creator of all things and you hold all things. We thank you this morning for your Son, who makes all the things we have just sung about possible, who gives us strength when we need it, who gives us hope for tomorrow, who gives us salvation and who gives us a renewed relationship with you. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, who directs us and who inspires us and who challenges us. Heavenly Father, we welcome you in this place this morning through your Holy Spirit. And I pray that we would make ourselves available to you this morning. So Lord, I ask that you would speak to each and every one of us, Lord, so that we might leave this place renewed and refreshed and better able to be your people, your representatives in the world. This morning I pray for our children who have already left us to go and enjoy a godly play lesson. And Lord, I pray that they will learn something new of you, Lord, through this very kind of hands-on way of engaging with you and the stories of you as told them in the Bible. Lord, I pray for those of our number that are not with us this morning, Lord, and I pray a special blessing upon them. And I pray, Lord, that even though they're not with us this morning, that they will find it within themselves to focus on you for a short while and to worship you, and that you would honour that by drawing near to them, so that they would know that they do not stand alone. We also share in a prayer for Israel and Palestine. O God of all, of Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, Isaac, and Ishmael, our hearts are broken in pieces at the suffering and murder of your people. Our voices cry for peace and for justice. Comfort those who grieve. Console and heal the injured. Be close to those in fear. Restrain with your mighty hand those who perpetrate violence. Send us your wisdom in all that we say and do, that your voice may always seek justice, peace, and security for all. And we close our time of prayer in joining together in the prayer that our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, Amen. We turn now to the songsters, who are going to bring a song called Sing, Love and Live. number. I will note that the lyrics were provided by Neil, I think, by Neil Winton. And I know that yesterday that you were at some sort of, what's the word? Songwriter seminar's the word I was looking for. So we encourage you in that, and we thank you for what you're writing. But also we are aware that this has been a difficult week for your family, as Libby has lost her mother. So please send our love to Libby when you see her later on today. This is usually the spot where we go to the children, but as you know, they're not in with us today. They're in godly play, having a lesson there. It's a shame. I was looking forward to having the children with us today because I had a children's talk that involved water pistols. And I'm going to have to save that for another time now. And I'm very disappointed about that. And I'm sure you are too. But I'll save that for another time now. And I also obviously had a song which involved much athleticism. And I really sense this morning we could all do with a little bit of a warm-up. So I'm almost tempted to kind of throw it back in, but I won't. This can be a Sunday of rest. But thanks again to the worship band who are going to lead us in sung worship. We're going to sing. There is a new song. And while we sing that, the offering will be taken up. And hopefully we'll have the chance to kind of warm up our extremities as well.
Down into the pit and lifted me.
Thank you very much, guys. Sorry, I'm on this, Jackie. Thank you very much, guys. Obviously, you're in good voice today, your birthday, Claire, so we appreciate that. And but I was just going, I'm going out on a limb. This wasn't planned, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I just wonder if amongst us there is anyone who wants to share something that they are grateful for this morning. Is there anyone here that's got a testimony of, I love it, with a testimony of gratitude, something that they are thankful for this morning?
I nearly prayed this morning before the service, but we ran out of time. I'm really grateful for this church and for the community that we have and for the support that it gives me, particularly in the job that I do. I feel that coming here and getting fed and nurtured on a Sunday is what empowers me to shine Jesus the rest of the week.
You do a good job at shining, Julia, I'm not going to lie. So carry on. Anyone else got something that they're thankful for this morning? Hello, Don.
I'm thankful for the NHS in Ipswich Hospital. I have rheumatoid arthritis, and they've taken away my pain, and I am so, so grateful.
Yeah, indeed, and we're grateful that God operates through the NHS. Don't worry, you don't need to put your eyes down. I'm not going to come and ask you. You can look at me, but if you've got something to say, just put your hand up. And anyone else got something that they're thankful for this morning? Bye.
I need to thank God for the doctors in Papworth for saving their cousin's life at 52. And he's had a massive heart attack. And hopefully she's going to make it.
Okay, well, we hold that situation in prayer as well. Anyone else that's got something that they're thankful for this morning? Oh, goodness me, you're making me run a marathon. But that's all right. It's good for my step count.
As most of you know, I think that last year I had a cancer diagnosis, and I just found out that after some genetic testing, it wasn't caused by anything genetic. Therefore, the chances of my children getting it are very slim, and there's no reason for it to come back.
Thanks be to God. Oh, Emma, you were hiding in the corner. We could have missed you.
Hardly. Last weekend, I had the pleasure of being at Sail Salvation Army. For those of you that don't know, I work for a Christian charity, and I was up there last Sunday and with them. And the officers that are there have been really kind of influential for me as a Christian. So I'm just really thankful for wise people that are able to speak into our lives and share God with us.
So you're grateful for wise people that are ex-military bandsmen. anyone else has got something that they would like to share? Absolutely. So even in the midst of a hard world and of difficult situations, even here, just in a quick survey, we've got plenty that we can be thankful for. So thank you very much. Actually, before I just stop, is anyone desperately wanting to speak? But I think 5 people usually is kind of the average. We won't get much more out of this. Yeah. Lovely. Thank you very much to those who have shared. And I'm sure that even those who haven't have got, I'm absolutely certain of it, have got much to be thankful for today. So we turn now to the ministry from the band, who are going to bring us a selection, well, an arrangement called Soul Renewing Grace.
reading this morning from the book of Acts, verses chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. And in my Bible, it's entitled, "The Believers Share Their Possessions." All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any one of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, all that there were no needy persons amongst them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, bought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had a need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This is the word of the Lord.
So we'll use wooden spoons. I don't want to hear anything more about it.
I'm sorry to disturb you.
You caught him.
But I had my eye on this man.
Oh, thank God. I'm very angry with you, Jean Valjean.
What happened to your eye, Monseigneur?
Didn't he tell you he was our guest last night?
Oh, yes. After we searched his knapsack and found all this silver, he claimed that you gave it to him.
Yes. Of course I gave him the silverware. But why didn't you take the candlesticks? That was very foolish. Madame Gillot, fetch the silver candlesticks. They're worth at least 2,000 francs. Why did you leave them? Hurry. Monsieur Valjean has to get going. He's lost a lot of time. Did you forget to take them?
Are you saying he told us the truth?
Of course. Thank you for bringing him back. I'm very relieved.
Release him.
You're really letting me go?
Didn't you understand the bishop?
Madame Gillot, offer these men some wine. They must be thirsty.
Thank you.
And don't forget. Don't ever forget. You've promised to become a new man.
Promise? Why are you doing this?
Jean Valjean, my brother, you no longer belong to evil. With this silver, I've bought your soul. I've ransomed you from fear and hatred. And now I give you back to God.
So the clip we have just watched is the most moving of arguably the greatest novel ever written, Les Misérables by Victor Hugo. And in it, we see the Bishop of Digne offer the kind of generosity that could only emanate from a deep knowledge of God's grace towards him, towards himself. As it happens, the bishop's generosity leads to a wholesale transformation in Jean Valjean, the erstwhile thief, who goes on to make a success of himself that he strives to share with others. Unfortunately, however, and the rest of the novel shows this, he can never quite leave his criminal past behind. But the bishop's generosity can only come from a deep recognition of his own self-sinfulness, his own limitations, and his intimate knowledge of what Christ has done for him on the cross. So in today's passage, we see a very similar kind of generosity to the Bishop of Digne's, a generosity that stems from a sincere response to God's grace towards those who repent and turn towards him. And the text tells us that these early Christians experienced great power and great grace. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. When God's family unites, generosity erupts. Generous living defines and shapes, or ought to define and shape, their relationships. So we're reaching the final installment of our series on generous living. And this text's message is essential. How we use our financial resources is fundamentally a spiritual issue. However we might want it, there can be no distinction between the spiritual and the material in the life of the believer. And our faith should shape every aspect of our lives. So a life that is anchored in God ultimately and inevitably leads to generous living. These early Christians had great power and great grace, precisely because all aspects of their lives, finances and possessions included, were freely surrendered to God's will and purpose. So to be a Christian is to be part of a generous family. This is so because Jesus Christ lived an extravagantly generous life that led him into conflict in life, but ultimately led him to give up his own life on the cross. God is love. God is generous. He gave his Son. And this is the basic reality of God. He is the provider of all good gifts. Last week I was walking around the house holding Eva. And I was holding her facing forward and then bouncing her to keep her busy. I could demonstrate, but we won't do it right now. Lisette was busy around the house. But at one point, she turned around and looked at me and Eva and burst out laughing. I was slightly offended. I don't know if Eva was, but sensing my puzzlement, Lisette explained her outburst almost immediately. And she was simply struck, she explained, by the resemblance that Eva and I share. Poor Eva. But there is, of course, something special about the physical resemblance that identifies the oneness of a family. So the child is identified with their father, as Eva was, or their mother. And similarly, I believe that God is pleased when he sees a family resemblance in us through our actions and our attitudes. So the challenge for us, of course, is to ask how. How can we look like God? How can we take on a family resemblance and move into generous living through the giving of our resources and of ourselves? Well, I'm going to propose this morning 4 steps that we can all take. And the first is this. We begin with prayer. Not the verbal outpouring prayer that we so easily fall into, but the kind of prayer that seeks to carefully listen to what God has to say. And God honors this kind of prayer with divine guidance. So what difference would including God in your financial decisions make? The second step is this. Give to God first. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Don't give to God your leftovers. The joy of generous living comes through first fruit giving. Third step, give of yourself. It's not enough to write a check, fill an envelope, or set up a standing order. There is great joy to be found in serving. And there isn't one person here gathered this morning who cannot serve. There isn't one person here who cannot pick up the phone to encourage someone else. Great power and great grace belong to the first Christians because they took care of others. And finally, and fourthly, make a public commitment to live generously. It's important to note that in this short passage, one idea is repeated twice. These early Christians who had sold their properties or whatever brought the proceeds and placed them at the apostles' feet. This idea of placing their gifts at the apostles' feet is repeated twice. So I'm not talking, of course, about making a show of our giving, but I'm talking about not hiding it either. And after all, if you're a senior soldier in the Salvation Army, you have already made a public commitment to live generously. But making a commitment and being open about it stops us from flip-flopping and making excuses. So today's message was the last in a series on generous giving. And over the last few weeks, we have been encouraged to not doubt what God can do with our resources, irrespective of how meager they might seem to us from a human perspective. We've been encouraged to look at giving as a gift, because at the end of the day, when we give to God, we get so much more in return. Last week, we stopped on these words of Jesus repeated by Paul. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And hopefully we know that there is blessing to be found in our giving. And I hope that that is your experience also. But just to conclude today, and to conclude our series, I say one final thing. We don't give of our time, talent, and treasure out of a sense of duty, out of a sense of tradition, out of a sense of compulsion or obligation. Rather, we give out of a grateful response to the one who gave us the greatest gift of them all, forgiveness for sin and the hope of eternal life spent in the presence of our God. So in response, we sing a song, and I think it's an interesting one. It's song number 176 in the song books, and it's a song that was and it's a song that speaks of the gift that that Jesus Christ has made. The sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made for us. And we look at the cross and we will sing, and once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life. Jesus Christ, and Paul liked this idea. Jesus poured out his life for us. And in response, we are called and we are challenged to pour out our life in thanksgiving and in gratitude. It's not just about pouring out a song on a Sunday morning. It's not about pouring out words of encouragement, to use the example I've used. But it's about pouring out all aspects of our life in a demonstration of thankfulness and gratitude. Let's join together in singing this song. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I wondered at your gift of life, now I'm in that place once again. And I'm in that place once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens. But for now, I'll marvel at your saving grace, now full of praise once again. Oh, I'm full of praise once again. Once again, I fell upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank. Once again, I pour out my love. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Once again I fell upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my love. Heavenly Father, we are indeed a grateful and thankful people. And we thank you once again this morning for the gift of Jesus Christ, who gives us new life and new hope. And Lord, we pray this morning that all aspects of our life would be aligned in bringing you the glory, Lord, that we would hold nothing back, but that we would seek to serve you wholeheartedly with everything that we are and with everything that we have. And Lord, if we struggle to make that affirmation this morning, I pray that you would move amongst us and that your Holy Spirit would soften our hearts and that your Holy Spirit would guide us, that your Holy Spirit would challenge us, so that we can live lives that are not only fulfilling for us, but that bring you glory, Lord. Because that's where we know that we will find fullness of life. I make this prayer in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we close our worship this morning with a well-loved hymn in the church in this country, but a well-loved hymn within this fellowship as well. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? So we sing these words and we commit to living in response to them and to the events and happenings that they signify. I invite you to stand as we join together.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. And the blessing upon you all, taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. And God meet, and may God meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.